Hello students, myself and Ms. Sindali will do an overview of academic writing, as we have seen that some do struggle to use the appropriate format when writing, and it can take a bit of practice before one learns the skill. This video series will be split into two video sessions. In the first session, I will focus specifically on characteristics of academic writing and how to structure paragraphs. The second session, my colleague Ms. Sindali will focus on question words and how they inform and direct the way in which you answer your assignment questions. The information given in these sessions are drawn from a couple of academic resources online, but the majority of content comes from your tutorial 301. If you have gone over this tutorial in depth, then you may arguably skip over some of the information by going to the timestamps where you feel you need some revision. You can also refer to the video description below for the timestamps and their links. Firstly, before we get to structure, we must recall what academic writing is. Academic writing is writing that we see in texts such as theses, journal articles, and your prescribed textbooks. Nowadays, we can even see them in online blogs and academic forums. But what is important is how to recognize academic writing by identifying the certain characteristics that these texts contain. It is these specific academic writing characteristics that we require you to use. If you have gone through your tutorial letters, then you are quite familiar with some of these characteristics. These characteristics are how we ensure good academic writing. I have clustered these characteristics into three broad groups: structured, planned, and focused, formal in style and tone, and evidence-based and critical, of which I will focus on the first group, but you will notice that they overlap with one another. Academic writing is structured, planned, and focused. By structured, I mean having a certain sentence argument. Usually one of three ways: logical, empirical, or anecdotal. A paragraph may even contain all three of these argument types, but it is not necessary to use all three. In a logical argument, you would write in an analytical and coherent way. If the child came to the lesson because it was entertaining, then we could logically presume that they will return if the lesson is still entertaining. Empirical arguments are used most often and are the heart of most academic writing. They contain citations and quotations of evidence-based research findings, as exemplified in the slide. Lastly, anecdotal arguments are casual and informal experiences that are often highly subjective. Anecdotal evidence can be used as an example to show your understanding of certain concepts or theories. However, you must remember that a lot of information is required for each assignment, and you need to think carefully about whether an anecdote is necessary in order to strengthen your argument. Planned. Planning is one of the most important parts of good academic writing. It relates to doing the readings, making notes, and finding the similarities and differences between the content. You should mind map, highlight, or use whatever method you find effective when doing your readings and planning your assignments. It also relates to editing and proofreading your work, which should be done several times before submitting your assignment. Focused. Focused relates to your ability to clearly answer the question by demonstrating your understanding of the topic. You need to maintain that your answer avoids any unnecessary information. In order to show a structured and focused paragraph, your arguments need to use signaling or linking words or phrases, which direct and lead your arguments from one point to the next, which I will discuss in the next slides. The five C's of the organization of content are found in your tutorial letter 301, section 10, and they are all relevant to ensuring well-structured, focused, and planned writing. These five C's should enable your reader or lecturer to be able to follow your arguments, allowing them the ability to make an informed and critical decision from the information and arguments you have made. First, to maintain clear writing, you should avoid vague or unexplained terms. If you mention an academic term, you should also be defining it. Only use expressions such as thus and therefore when what you are about to say follows from what you have just said. Make clear what you are referring to when you use words such as this and it. Use examples whenever possible. Searching for or making up examples is an excellent way of deepening your understanding of a concept or principle. Just remember to cite where you are getting your example if it is not your own. For your writing to be concise, you should avoid any unnecessary information or wordiness. Avoid long quotations from sources, but rather paraphrase the information into your own words, but always include the citation and reference. Consistent is to avoid using a term in more than one way. Don't contradict on page 12 what you said on page 2. Coherent. This is related to making your writing both structured and focused. It ensures that the various sections, subsections, paragraphs, and sentences of your answer follow a natural and logical progression. Writing coherently makes use of signal and linking words or phrases, such as firstly, in addition to, and so on. Lastly, critical. Critical requires you to take a critical standpoint towards theories, analyses, and arguments. Do you agree or disagree? Or is there perhaps not enough supporting evidence? Are the concepts and terms defined and explained clearly? How logical are the arguments? And how reliable are the methods used to gather the evidence? You can find further links to supplementary information and examples on these characteristics in the video description below. To ensure these characteristics are present within writing, we'd like to refer specifically to a few structures or approaches that you can use. The SPSE structure. This structure can be used for structuring an entire essay, thesis, journal article, report, or other form of academic writing. However, it can also be used to structure your paragraphs. The reason we use this type of structure is because the pattern is functional and logical, and it reflects the way in which scientific thinking is done. It might be helpful to approach your assignments with the four SPSE questions in mind. What is the situation? What is the problem? What is the solution? And then, how is the solution to be evaluated? Here we have a paragraph writing approach. You might be familiar with the basic three-part structure of a paragraph: topic sentence, supporting sentences, conclusion or transition sentence. But this structure can be further developed into a basic structure and an argumentative structure. The basic structure could consist of around 4 to 5 sentences. The first sentence would be the topic, a claim, definition, or fact. The second sentence should give the argument or elaborate on the topic sentence. The next sentence or sentences should give evidence and examples related to the information or argument of the previous sentences. Finally, the last sentence should sum up your paragraph argument in a conclusion that ties in the topic sentence with your evaluation of the paragraph argument. Alternatively, this conclusion could transition or hint to the next paragraph, otherwise known as an interim conclusion. The argumentative structure is similar. It has a topic sentence and a development or argument sentence. However, the next sentence should contest or contain a rebuttal to the first sentence's information or argument. The following sentence should either contest or rebut or come to a deciding stance that relates to answering the topic sentence's contested claim. Finally, you can conclude and state the relevance of the argument to the topic idea. I should mention that in order to use argumentative structure well, you need to have a good grasp of the content and must ensure your writing is clear, coherent, and concise. as oftentimes an unplanned argumentative essay or paragraph can become wordy and unclear. So the basic structure is generally best used as each paragraph would focus on only one side of the argument, either the advantages or the disadvantages. In conclusion, these characteristics and structure models are just a few useful ways to help you in perfecting your academic writing skills. The models can be used on a separate piece of paper or in your draft assignment to ensure that you maintain good academic writing. For further models or supplementary information, refer to the links in the video description. Now I want to draw your attention to the interim conclusion, as previously mentioned. It is a preliminary conclusion you make in a paragraph during the body of your essay, after examining or discussing certain aspects of a topic. An interim conclusion does not need to be very long, usually only a sentence or two. Interim conclusions are important because you do not want to leave the information hanging in mid-air, where you would not have evaluated the information or made specific relevance as to how your argument answers the question. So, you must draw a conclusion from the information and explicitly show your reader how it relates to the topic sentence. By using a series of interim conclusions in your paragraphs, your assignment will become coherent and your reader will always be able to see the relation between a particular section and the central theme of your essay. Looking at the example here, we can see that the first sentence refers to previously mentioned information, and the last sentence ties it all together in a conclusive statement, which reflects the writer's view. Finally, let's look at two paragraph examples. Pause this video and decide which one is the better of the two. Using the 5 C's, look for features and write them down to decide why the one paragraph could be regarded as a more well-constructed paragraph. If you said paragraph 2, you would be correct. Both paragraphs are quite similar. However, there are specific characteristics that make paragraph 2 the better of the two examples. Firstly, we can see that paragraph 1 mostly contains short statement sentences, and in the second sentence they use an unclear referent, they. Secondly, the short sentences are not connected or linked by any transition words or cohesive devices, such as for example, furthermore, and so on. Each sentence makes a point, but there is no explicit connection from one point to the next. This leads the paragraph to flow not particularly well. In contrast, paragraph 2 is more focused and it flows better. The paragraph concisely states what the model is about, and using linking or signal phrases provides coherence as to what information will be following. In this case, in sentence 2, for example, directs the readers to an example explaining exactly what form to function means. Each sentence is logically organized to support and explain the main idea. The concluding sentence may leave us with wondering how we might be able to determine the best cues. It would then be optimal to create another paragraph that has a topic sentence that transitions from this sentence to further explain how we might determine the best cues. Thank you all for watching part 1, and remember to watch part 2, presented by Nissan Dali, which you can find a link to in the video description.